hates the fact that you're always talking about what he hasn't done and you've forgotten what he is doing. If God has only given you sardines and crackers, get your praise on.
Dr. Tony Evans says even God's leftovers flow from his abundance, not his neglect.
That bread was good, but having the bread of life is better.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. Today, Dr. Evans explains that getting God's best for our lives often means giving up everything else first. Let's join him as he takes us to John chapter 6 for today's study.
If you regularly have leftovers, then you ought not be doing a lot of complaining. If you have leftover time, you have leftover money, leftover food, then you ought to lead the praise procession, because that means God's been good to you. In John 6, we have a situation that involved leftovers. It is one of the great miracles recorded in the New Testament. We find Jesus Christ on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and the crowds were growing as he was ministering to them and performing miracles. Jesus asked Philip, how are we going to feed all these people? So Philip's answer is, we can't afford it. We don't have enough money to feed all these people. In fact, I can get into Philip's mind. What he's thinking is, why are you asking me this question? One of the other gospel writers says, Philip also said, send them away. This problem, situation, scenario, difficulty, challenge, or trial is much bigger than our capacity to address it. Please don't miss John's little insertion in verse 6. And this Jesus was saying to test him. For he himself knew what he was intending to do. Now I understand your question. It's my question. Jesus, if you already know what you gonna do, why ask me a question? Or maybe you put it this way. If God already knows what he's gonna do, why pray about it? If God already knows what he is intending to do, why discuss it? God, just go do it. Why does God ask Philip the question, given the fact that Jesus knows what he's intending to do? It says he wants to test him. He wants to see whether all the sermons Philip has been saying amen to. He wants to know, were you just showing up for service? Or were you paying attention to what was being said? Let me explain something. On one hand, there's a question that God is answering. On the other hand, God's already got the answer. Did you know that God already has the answer to the questions he raises in your life? To the things that come into your life that pose inquiries, Jesus already knows what he's going to do. He knows what he's going to do, how he's going to do it, and when he's going to do it. So if you've got a question about a situation that's too big for you, it's called a test. Jesus wants to know what you're going to do with what you heard. Because Philip has been seeing Jesus, listening to Jesus for 2 years. And now the question is, Philip, have you been paying attention? Philip does what we do when we face a multitude. It never occurred to Philip to say, Jesus, there is no way we can feed these people. There are not enough stores. But even though we don't have enough stores with enough food, and even though we don't have enough money in the disciples' bank account to solve this problem, you are in the mix. You're here, and that changes the equation. So even though there are not enough stores and not enough money, Jesus, there is you. So I want to talk to you about what you're going to do to fix this problem. See, he saw the multitude and forgot the Lord. Anybody ever do that? You see the crowd of circumstances surrounding you and you get lost in what you can't see. And the glass becomes half empty because you forget that God always knows what he's going to do. Now we're dealing with 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So we're dealing with anywhere between 10 to 25,000 people. That'll make you say, let them go home. Because it's just too much. Philip is circulating among the crowd and he only sees one thing that's got anything related to do with food. And that is a little boy with his lunch. Verse 9. There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people? What is that when I got to deal with this? When I've got these problems over here, what this little bit gonna do? But see, Jesus understood something we don't. When you take a little and give it to the hands of God, when you take nothing and put it in the hands of God, when you take the insignificant and sanctify it with thanksgiving. That's why the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. But in prayer and supplication, don't forget this, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I can hear Jesus praying now. Father, we got 15 to 25,000 people. We don't have enough stores. And we don't have money in the bank, but we do have a need. And I'm out here doing my Father's business. I'm out here doing what you asked me to do, and all I've got to work with is some sardines and crackers. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to situate the people for a blessing. I'm going to sit them down at the table and get them ready to hear from God. And I'm going to leave up to my Father in heaven through his Son to address this situation that's bigger than me. When he finished praying, he distributed to those who were seated. See, you might be tempted to read on. Don't read on. It didn't say he distributed to those who were there. You got to pay attention. He didn't distribute to those who were there. He distributed to those who believed them enough to sit down. If you weren't seated, you didn't eat that day. You had to be willing to position yourself for a blessing. You had to be willing to position. See, folk go around talking about, I trust God, but when I look at you, you're still standing up. I don't see you sitting down. You haven't positioned yourself for a blessing. You haven't positioned yourself like you really believe God's gonna do something. You haven't sat down. You're still standing up. You tell the hungry people to chill, sit down. And we're going to give thanks for what we have. Some of us have never seen God come through because we spend all of our time complaining about what we don't have rather than giving thanks for what we do have. And God hates a grumbler. He hates the fact that you're always talking about what he hasn't done and you've forgotten what he is doing. If God has only given you sardines and crackers, get your praise on. Give thanks. That doesn't mean that you don't want to eat. It means that you recognize God has to feed you. It says to those who were seated. The Bible is full of God using the insignificant. You can hardly read the Bible without seeing that God loves to gravitate to the insignificant. When God wanted to make man, he got him some dirt. Do you know all of us here a bunch of dirt? God went down into the dirt. Insignificant earth, and he made the most astounding creation, the apex of his order. So before you begin thinking too much of yourself, that nice suit you're wearing is covering dirt. That nice dress you're wearing is covering dirt. Everybody in this room is just a bunch of dirt. Yeah, Mary Kate and shown how you can make dirt look better, but you're still dirt. I don't care what kind of car you drive, you're a bunch of dirt behind the wheel. I don't care what kind of house you live in, it's a bunch of dirt walking through the door. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. You are dirt in the hands of God. That's all you are, dirt in the hands of God. God took a shepherd's crook. That's the old little nobody shepherd's stick. And the Bible says the rod of Moses became the rod of God. And it opened up the Red Sea because God loves taking the insignificant. When it's been placed in his hands and doing something with it, God took the jawbone of a donkey and gave it to Samson, who slew 1,000 Philistines, because God loves taking the insignificant and doing things with it. God took a slingshot in the hands of a teenager to slay a giant, because God loves using the insignificant to do his best work. So if you are a nobody, you're now a somebody, because God loves to use the insignificant to do his greatest work. But if you are here this morning and you are a somebody, then you're a nobody, because God hates the proud and he hates those who are sufficient within themselves.
Well, Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a look at the faith of the little boy who gave up his lunch for the Lord as he continues this message from his popular series, Great Expectations. This 10-lesson collection explains why we can trust that God is working for our good, even when it may not seem like he is. If you're experiencing persecution, waiting for healing, or just feeling lost and empty, these messages will help you understand what the Lord is doing behind the scenes of your life and how amazing it will be when your breakthrough comes at just the right time. Get a copy of the powerful message series, Great Expectations, along with bonus material we won't have time to present on the air. We're offering it for a limited time as our gift when you support our ministry with a contribution of any amount. So don't miss out. Visit us today at tonyevans.org, make your contribution, and let us send you Great Expectations on CD. That's tonyevans.org. Or call us day or night at 1-800-800-3222, and one of our staff members will be glad to help you. Well, right now, Dr. Evans is back with more of today's lesson. Let's join him.
So we got a no-name boy who's poor, who's willing to give his poverty over to Jesus. That's not how we think. We think this is all I have. I mean, it's bad enough. Sartine crackers and little pickle fish. It's bad enough I have that. Jesus want that too. He didn't let his poverty be an excuse for keeping it from Jesus. He gave it to Jesus. Some of you can't get out of your hole because every week you rob God. And he's against you. You say, but I'm poor, and God says, and you ain't seen nothing yet. This little boy turned it over to Jesus Christ. That meant he had to take a risk. That's a risk. I mean, wouldn't it have been natural to argue, this is my lunch. My mama prepared me my lunch. He ain't prepared me lunch for no 5,000 people. My mama prepared me lunch for me. Jesus says, little boy, will you entrust what little you have to me? Do you believe me enough that I can take your little and do something with it? When you entrust film that you use for taking pictures to a developer, all you did was take a little picture. But when you put it in a developer's hands, you can come out with all kind of stuff. Portraits, posters, prints, memories, history, because he just takes what you put on the negative, develops it. He comes out with all kind of new stuff. You can hold on to your little, and that's all you have. Jesus distributes. We're not told how this miracle happened, but evidently what he prayed over got expanded. After Jesus had given thanks, God supplied some barley helper, some sardine helper, and he stretched out some tiny barley loaves and sardine crackers so that it fed 10 to 25,000 people without them ever getting any more. He multiplied what they had. Verse 11 says, I like this. It said, they ate as much fish as they wanted. Ooh. In other words, they got full off of barley loaves and sardines. They got full. Everybody, all 10 to 25,000 people ate as much, ate till it was time to go to sleep. But even after they ate and got full, verse 12, here it is, here's the sermon, we can get to the sermon now. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the leftovers. How you gonna have leftovers? Gather up the leftover fragments that nothing be lost, because there's a blessing in your leftovers. Why did he give his disciples a leftover back? So that they could remember this day, so that they would have a testimony that God could not only meet the need, he could do so exceedingly abundantly above whatever we can ask or think, because I have my own private leftover basket. So the question of the sermon is the question now. Why, when God comes through, is there a leftover? See, that's the question. Perceiving they were intending to come and take him by force, verse 15, to make him king, he withdrew to the mountain. You see what I read? They said, we elect you king. But it says Jesus said, nope, out of here. Because what they wanted was, watch this now, Burger King. They said, anybody who can turn sardines and crackers into a Moby Dick sandwich, anybody who can turn all this into Orca the Great Whale, anybody who can come up with Operation Bread Basket like this, ought to be king. disappointed today. Because a lot of folks show up on Sunday morning because they want to know what new meal is Jesus cooking today. They don't want Jesus, they just want his blessing. They don't want Jesus, they just want this new thing he's going to do for them today. And that misses the point of the leftovers. Look at what Jesus says in verse 26. Truly, truly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. You don't seek me because you want me. You seek me because you want stuff from me. Let me say that again. You don't seek me because you want me. You seek me because you want a new house. You want a new car. You want new clothes. You want better jobs. You want bigger bank accounts. You come to me because you want stuff from me. And it's not that I don't want to give you stuff, but the only reason I give you leftovers is so that you'll get so excited about me, that you'll want me, that you'll proceed with me, that you'll love me. He says what I'm after are folks who want me, and what God is after in verse 29, this is the work, that you believe in me and him whom he has sent. Moses, verse 32, gave you manna from on high. Verse 33, God has given you bread and he's come down from heaven and I have come into the world. Verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me shall not thirst. Do you want me or do you want stuff? I hope God gives all of you your breakthrough this year. But I hope after you get your breakthrough and see your leftovers, that you'll want him, that you'll praise him, that you'll love him, that you'll need him, that you'll pursue him, that you'll caress him, that you'll lift up him. He wants you to want him. He wants you to love him. The reason God gives you leftovers, the reason he gives you a breakthrough, the reason he gives you a miracle, the reason he answers your prayer is so that you'll get so excited about him that you say, yeah, that bread was good, but having the bread of life is better. God wants you to want him. As you give thanks over your crackers and fish this year, whatever little he's given you, and as you position yourself for a blessing, and as God comes in and does abundantly for you so that you have leftovers, would you remember? He didn't do it so that he could be your Burger King. He did it so he could be your bread of life, your sustenance for your soul. That's why he gives you leftovers.
Dr. Tony Evans, pointing out the true value of the Lord's amazing leftovers. Now, if you'd like to get a copy of this lesson on CD or DVD, just contact us for details on the message titled, When God Gives You Leftovers. And this teaching is just one part of Dr. Evans' current series, Great Expectations. It explains how to trust God for the answers you've been seeking, even when it feels like he's holding out on you. And remember, you can get it right now as our thank you gift for a contribution of any amount. But as I mentioned earlier, this offer will only be available for a limited time. So make a point of visiting us today at TonyEvans.org to make the arrangements. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Or you can call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members help you. 1-800-800-3222. If you feel stuck behind a wall of disappointment and difficulty, you'll want to join us tomorrow as Dr. Evans explains that God's solution is on its way and may already be right in front of your face. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.